a little bit late here. One announcement before we start that I wanted to say. We did have a comment. Somebody spoke out about listening to the meetings on the on the audio on the website. And just if we want to all remember when somebody else is talking, not to have any side conversations, because sometimes they you can tell that there's more than one person talking, and so just to be respectful of that. Thank you. The minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes from our last meeting?
So moved.
Okay. Okay. There is one slight adjustment to the meetings. When I want a little bit of discussion about this. Under item number 6, about the motion about bringing the resolution to the city council, the very last sentence that talks about the motion was made and it was seconded, which passed. We're wondering if the word unanimously should be put in the minutes. It did pass unanimously, but does that need to be changed or can it remain as is?
I can't see any reason why it couldn't stay as it is. Passed. I mean, is
okay.
It important?
Okay. Any other discussion on that? Okay. All those in favor of approving the minutes from November 19th?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
That's an aye.
Okay. Motion passes. Public comment. Are there persons who would like to make comments? Okay.
My name is Ron Christensen. I live in the city of Wilmer. And last night I reminded the council and I remind this commission that your duty is to follow the Minnesota Human Rights Act. That's your duty. How many here have a copy of your bylaws? Anybody?
We all have them.
Okay, because it's the duty of the chair, it says in here, to make sure everybody has a copy of those bylaws and has read and understand them. Minnesota Human Rights Act is short and very simple. I'm going to read it to you. What is illegal discrimination? Discrimination is when someone treats you differently or does not give you your rights you would normally have because of your race, your age, your sex, or some other protected characteristic. Under the Human Rights Act, it is illegal to treat you differently because you belong to a certain group or a protected class of people. Last night, a member of your commission accused a person of being the leader of a hate group. It contradicts everything this says and this commission is supposed to do. Actually, that person violated her human rights. The group that she is the leader of is religious in basis. And this particular member thinks that she has no right to lead that group or to think the way she thinks or to even speak. So I'm going to ask the city council to expel that particular member from this group. Under the bylaws and the establishment of this commission, it says that the city council can expel someone from the commission for cause or no cause. I understand you're short one person on the commission, and one person has submitted her name, and hopefully will be appointed to this and approved by the city council. I too am going to submit my application to this group. But keep in mind that your duty is to validate somebody's human rights violation and send it to the state. I believe you've already done that to one person. And I don't think the state's going to do anything. I'm just speaking to my attorney. Keep in mind your number one commitment to this commission, and that's to validate some human rights violations. And there aren't many. Can somebody here tell me the last time somebody's human rights were violated in Warner, Minnesota, and that it went to the state and who it was? Can anybody? It isn't even a requirement to meet monthly, folks. I was on it in 1994, my first term elected at council. And it was, we were going through a crisis at Elm Lane where the Hispanics were being displaced. And there were some human rights that were violated, and we sent them to the state. But after a few years, nothing happened. We had no more valid violations, and we disbanded the group. And I believe it was just brought 2 or 3 years ago back, Marv?
I don't recall when it was.
It isn't too long ago. But I suspect it's because of all the influx of the immigrants, refugees, asylees that have come to Wilmer. But not one valid violation has occurred. One other item is this group is not here to set policy or tell anybody to do something, especially the city council. You are an advisory group only, and you're supposed to look for valid human rights violations. Thanks for listening to me, and I'll be here again. Is it monthly you meet? Okay, most I plan on attending every meeting. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Are there other public comments? Okay. The next item on our agenda is board positions. We have 3 members that will be extending and staying on the commission: Joe Benson, Hamdi Kosar, and Ben Larson. Marlon, your term is up. Thank you so much for your service on the Human Rights Commission. We've appreciated your time and your expertise, especially with the background that you have. And understand you're going on to work on other volunteer endeavors as well.
Lots of my energy.
Yes. Thank you.
Definitely miss your input for sure.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks, Marlon.
Thanks, Marlon.
Okay. The Resettlement Executive Order action last night that was presented to the Wilmer City Council, and the recommendation to support that did pass on the City Council. Vicki or Sean, any additional comments from that?
It did pass. I did have questions. I raised them at the meeting. If you did not watch the meeting or read the paper, they didn't cover all of those components. But I know when we were at this body last time, we were under a time constraint that we didn't know who had the jurisdiction over that decision. Shelley and the mayor and I had sat down and saw a sample resolution that could have been used. There were comments and statements in there that I thought were very politically charged, and we edited those out, and we focused on resettlement of families in particular, and of the 10 refugees that were brought into this county last year, all of those were family reunited refugees. And I was very comfortable to bring that if we needed to do so, and I think when we passed it, we said it's based on jurisdiction. That jurisdiction was given to counties. So I did not believe that was going to come to the City Council. Mm. It did come to the City Council. I'll tell you, I tried to bring it back here so we could have a discussion about that jurisdiction question. But that did not happen. Instead, it went to a vote and it did pass. And so I'll let you know that I was somewhat disappointed because I thought it could come back here so we could have a dialogue about whether or not it should continue to go, because there were several comments about, you know, it appeared to be divisive in nature and it wasn't necessary. And some of those points could have been valid. I thought it should come back here so we could air it. But it did not, and it did pass. And as far as I'm concerned, that is the end of the issue, I would assume.
Right. I agree. When we did act on it, we didn't know, and we moved forward with not knowing which one it was going to be, because time was in the essence. So. Okay. Any other comments on that? The follow-up business that I had from the last meeting, the Chamber Diversity Award is posted on the Chamber site now. And I do have a copy of that I printed off of their website today. This is what it reads. The Diversity Award is designed to honor an individual, group, or business who support and embrace an inclusive community by encouraging all persons and businesses to advocate, enhance, and promote equity of opportunity in all of their group or business practices. Our vision is a thriving, healthy community that prospers through being inclusive of all people. Ideally, community members also will readily identify the recipient as being a successful champion for inclusion. And then the statement that we talked about with the GARE work, a healthy Wilmer is an equitable, inclusive community where everyone is empowered, valued, and treated with dignity. So those nomination forms are on the Chamber site right now. There's a link to it. And the deadline for nominations for that is January 31st. The award will be given out on April 24th at their volunteer appreciation dinner, lunch.
So. Well, how are they making those decisions? Has that been determined? Is there going to be a group that looks at those applications?
We are going to be looking at the diversity award
application. So we're going to do it as an entire commission?
That is what has been asked of the chamber from us. Do you have another recommendation for me to go back to the chamber?
Well, I would think a smaller group would be much more efficient. Okay. If you bring all those applications to a group of this size, you're going to get bogged down in all kinds. This is my
right.
experience. You get bogged down in little details and you argue about every little detail. It might be better to have a group. Depends on how many applications.
Right. Yeah. Unfortunately, the chamber said, even for their other volunteer events, if they get 4 or 5 applications, that's a lot.
Oh, gotcha.
Which is unfortunate, because there's a lot of good things happening in the community. But I know from past history, being on the chamber board and things, the applications just do not come in. And I don't know if it's just because people do not take the time to recognize peers in the community or what.
Didn't they ask us to come up with nominations? Wasn't that the original request?
We absolutely, anybody in the community can make a nomination. But the request from the chamber is that, whether it's the whole commission or a subgroup, the Human Rights Commission chooses the winner.
Was there a deadline to choose by?
No, but they usually announce the awards a month or 6 weeks before the luncheon.
I suggest that the executive come to the next meeting with a recommendation.
Okay.
That there's been a process of looking them over ahead of time.
Okay. And I can talk to Ken too about maybe some more input on, for the other awards, what type of a committee structure looks at them, and because I know the whole chamber board didn't select those. A little bit. Oh, sorry.
I think it would also be, I envision you having three or four people, and maybe does the chamber want to have a person from their group sit on that? That would just seem to be a much, it's an opportunity to build some collaboration across that.
Okay. I'll bring that back to Ken and have some more dialogue with him about that. So, but the award is up. It is, they are taking nominations. They are recommending. If you have someone or a group or a business that you would like to nominate, they do not have to be a chamber member for this award to be nominated. But the deadline for nominations is January 31st. Okay. Okay. 2020 priorities. Are there priorities from this group for the following, for the next year? And the other thing, as we have talked about in the past, is our meeting schedule for 2020, whether it's monthly, every other month, quarterly. Is there a recommendation from the commission?
I like monthly. I think we've hit some issues that we should have more often than monthly, but I think monthly does. I like the 5 o'clock time too. I'll try to remember it next time.
Again, I like the monthly idea too. And things change quickly when things come up. And, you know, it's not like we don't have a lot of time to work on some things.
Right.
So I think the more often we meet an hour once a month.
For priorities, I have some things I'd like to talk about. I really liked was it the GARE work that looked at that policy? Are there other policies that maybe we could maybe look at through a racial equity lens and suggest to be edited? Yeah. I think that would be something that our group should take on.
One of the suggestions for that is to have a subcommittee of city staff that make recommendations and look at some policies with the GARE tool, using the GARE toolkit, and that persons who had been involved in that would be more of a kind of a reference or a consult on that to work with city staff looking at their own policies. So yes, the goal is for that GARE work to continue.
Nice, okay, so we don't have to do it then. The other thing, only thing I can think of that I think would be translating a lot of the signs around Wilmer, something I've been interested in for a while. Two stories about that is when I did refugee employment services, I helped a lot of the Karen and Burmese. Those men moved downtown, and they were working and they were living in the apartments down there, and most of them ended up not wanting to live downtown because they couldn't read the signs, and they didn't know how long the parking was, so they kept getting tickets. All the signs were in English, and they had no idea how to read them. And then the other thing would be, you know, my mother-in-law's house was foreclosed on a long time ago, but she still gets bills in the mail for the lawn mowing, and that's all in English, and she has no idea what the bill says. I don't know if that's a human rights thing that we could address, but
I can speak to that. That's part of that. What Sarah Snedberg is working on is because the lawn mowing and snow blowing, I mean, there's ordinances for these in various places, and she's attempting to put all of those under one umbrella.
Nice.
And having they used to have, and Janelle, you'll remember it because somebody said we should bring it here. Maybe you weren't, but somebody said that they have already done this. It was our last council meeting, so it wasn't Janelle. But they said these were made before. The mayor or Ron might remember too, they had these brochures that were about citizens and what your expectations were, and those things were in different languages. And the police force apparently still has some of these, so I told them to send them your way because it basically talks about, you know, parking cars in the street or,
nice.
Or these things.
Right.
All of those pieces were covered.
Okay.
It's probably time to take that out and dust it off and probably translate it in a few additional
sure.
languages.
Yeah, we don't have to recreate the wheel.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I
remember.
That very one is on there, and I know
okay.
the council dealt with that issue in not the too distant past about
sure.
Non-compliance and mowing and when we give notification and so on.
Okay.
And so I think that's all going to be under that piece that the planning planning is working with right now.
Cool.
Does anyone know what is happening with the My City Academy, with the Leadership 2040 that Kathy Schwantes had presented to us before, where that's at? Okay. Because that was an education piece about educating newer citizens to Willmar on responsibilities and, you know, how to access some of the, you know, how do you get signed up for utilities? What does it mean, mow in? What does that mean? Whose responsibility is it to shovel the sidewalk in front of your house? I mean, some of those kind of things that people wouldn't necessarily know moving into a city, whether they are from just moving in from the country into town and or here from somewhere else. So, but there we don't know where that is at.
No, I have no idea. Madam Chair, to the two issues that we just addressed. The first issue, Councilor Neske is correct. The first time it was done by Mary Lee Dorn, and it was done in English and Spanish.
Okay.
And subsequent to that, when we had an influx of another nationality, it was updated to include Somali. So the Karen people, it hasn't been translated to their language yet, but the other three languages it was translated to. And so those two documents are available at the city, and I think they're being dusted off, like Councilor Neske said. The second issue that you talked about was the My City project, and the My City project was brought to you by Ms. Schwantes, but it's actually a project under the University of Minnesota, and it's under Tony Spanier and a group working that way. And so I believe she brought it to you as a informational piece, and to my knowledge, that is still in the process. Originally, I had indicated to Sean that it was completed because I thought you were talking about the business one. The business one just completed, and there was the story that was done by WCCO a couple weeks ago talking about the new businesses in town and all of that big success story that happened, and the business that was in South First Street that then moved to the plaza by where Golden Palace is. So those are a couple pieces that are in works. So I thought the rollout of that was supposed to be this fall, but I might be incorrect. It was a pretty labor-intensive project.
Right.
There was some difficulty in having a diverse group of people engage, and so we've had some hang-ups because of that.
Okay.
I was involved in that in the very beginning, but I stepped away recently. So.
Okay.
Shelley, I might have one. Is citizenship? Can we pursue that again, or is there a time frame we have to wait?
No, we can pursue that again in naturalization ceremony.
Yes,
again.
Absolutely.
And I do have kind of ongoing conversation with the League of Women Voters because they were the other big sponsor of that and did all the heavy lifting essentially for that.
I just think it was very successful.
Right.
And if it were to come back, I think we could even advertise it even more because I think everybody who was that attended was moved by that, and it was pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
I know, I guess it's unfortunate that some of those folks had to drive out from the metro, but they're told that when it's their turn to
right.
go to the ceremony, you go wherever it is. And I think we were a very good host.
Do they schedule it regularly or at different places, or is it depending on how they're going
to... They had to apply to have it out here.
Oh, that's right.
And then they assign a federal judge, and I mean, it was quite a process, and the woman from the Judicial Department came out. She had to tour the site, approve the site. We had to meet with the police chief ahead of time. She was out here a few times, and then she, you know, kind of tried to assign people who were in the southwest part of Minnesota that were up for the ceremony to try to make it, as convenient as possible for them. But I know there were people that drove over 2 hours. So, and when I arrived at the barn at 9 that day, they were already there. Mm-hmm. They were waiting. She said they will not, they do not want to miss it. So, I mean, it was a lot of organizing, but I do think, yes, it was well worth it. We want to do it again. Would we recommend the barn again, or would we recommend a different ceremony?
I would suggest the WEAC. I think that if there was more room, a lot more people could come. Mm-hmm. It's really
moving. Yeah, I think it really moving. Crowded. No, empty seats.
I will connect with them again to see where they're at in the process.
And if they say no, we'd rather move it a bit than say when is the next time. I mean, mm-hmm. I think we have to plan for that.
And is the same woman in charge?
No, she doesn't work for the Judicial Department. You mean... From the League of Women Voters?
No.
The Judicial? No. She doesn't work there anymore. She retired or moved on. But.
Yeah, the League was pretty excited about it, and I think they're pretty anxious to do it again.
Okay. Other priorities? Other items?
I know on the website we had uploaded some stuff about housing. Are there other issues like that that we would want to put up, like either employment? I don't know what other issues we would want to...
You said housing?
Didn't we put some stuff up about housing, yeah.
One of my students struggled in the last month. She's hearing impaired, doesn't have great fluency. She's 60 and her husband is disabled from being in jail. In Somalia as a sort of a prisoner of war, and her daughter too is 20 but impaired because of war. And she came to me and said that I told her that we had a human rights commission, and she said that, you know, she wanted to talk to them because she thought that maybe, from what I could understand, was being kicked out of Section 8 housing unfairly. And so Sean told me there's a bill of renters, and I'd never heard of a renter's bill of rights. So I could send her to our link to the Minnesota Human Rights Commission on our website, but I had never heard of the renter's bill of rights.
And there's a link to that also on the.
There's been a lot of those issues that have happened in Roma. They don't get public, or they don't get to the point of having to file a human rights violation if you address them quickly, because a lot of times there may be some confusion either from the landlord's end or from the renter's end. And so, you know, I will remind that we are also to educate and advocate. Educating has been one of the things that probably prevents us from having to file a lot of those issues.
Right.
And housing is one of those that I've had to deal with personally several occasions. Whether it's not having a functional oven, or whether it is having a broken heating system, or not having a fire extinguisher in their apartment. Those things happen, but there are rules in state law that are already in place for those types of things. It's just getting that person to the right place. Mm-hmm. And if we as a successful, this could be one of the projects we talk about, instead of having to wait for issues to come, serving as a clearinghouse and getting all of those, we've talked about that many times, having those resources in one place can be very helpful.
Agreed.
Because the Jill, you could just simply click on it. Oh, there's the
right.
Renter's Bill of Rights.
Right.
And it is in every language that you can imagine.
Right.
And they're all available. Maybe not a hard copy available, but they are online.
They do have some hard copies of some of those things in the library.
Yeah.
And I've seen them in English and Spanish. And a couple of things were in Somali, too.
And I looked for a renter's bill of rights in Somali, and I couldn't find one.
At the library?
No, online.
There is one. I'll try to find it for you. It's in a ton of different languages.
So I've had
the one I found was only in Spanish.
Oh, okay. Well, I won't look now. But
okay.
Because I definitely have sent
right.
people to that.
Yeah. There's a Korean Burmese one. So it's got to be a Somali. Mm-hmm. Are there other issues like that we want to put on?
Should we? Are those things easily found, you know, on our website, on the Wilmer Human Rights?
No. I will say no. That could be that could be a focus of making this, again,
right.
user-friendly. I was getting requests for certain documents about the bylaws
yeah.
of this commission and so on. As far as our presence is on the website, it's a hot mess in my humble opinion.
Okay.
We could probably put that together, shore it up, and have resources and things. I think that is, if you're looking for a priority, I think that's a pretty good one.
Okay. I've sat down with David Hildebrand for long periods of time, and we've gone through it, but I will, and it made sense to us when we were doing it, but maybe I'll go in there again.
And I'm not being critical
yeah.
of you.
Hey, I like the link how it sends it to the Minnesota Human Rights, right? Like, you think you have a problem? Go to the Minnesota.
Yeah.
But I think there could still be maybe more stuff like the Renter's Bill of Rights in several languages.
But even if it has everything, kind of begs the question, how many people would think to look there for it?
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
That's
a good point.
Right.
But when you if we have someone that comes up, though, then maybe they don't
direct
them there, but you can help them
yep.
through
yeah.
that process. Because right now, it's hard to find that. You were looking for it.
I thought it was difficult, right? So I tried to find them for her.
And you do research.
Yeah, right.
so maybe we add some new
Let
topics.
Me look on that again. Okay.
It should
yep.
be easy.
Right.
Then.
Right. And I do know there we did it, and I went back, and a few days later I tried to claim, and some of the links didn't work, and then he redid it, but maybe we'll... I'll circle back to that and go back again, because most of what we put on was housing and linking it to the Renter's Bill of Rights, linking it to the Minnesota Human Rights page, those type of items. So.
Last I checked, if you wanted to make a housing complaint on a federal level, the link didn't work, so
okay.
Good luck.
Okay.
No, I don't think that was on the website. It was just like, I don't think the website.
We've also talked about mental health items in the past. Barbara, do you have any thoughts, either with law enforcement, the hospital?
Well, you know, I think, I don't know, there's so many different situations that come up. It's kind of to go with the things that do come up. I think we've talked about, you know, the idea of someone being locked up and not being there, and they're withdrawing from alcohol or something, and their needs aren't being met, and they do have medical staff that are looking after some things at the jail here. I think it's in Menville, where they have there's a program there that's a little more organized. We might want to take a visit down there, but you know the mental health issues. That come up and brought up to me a lot of times, you know, homelessness, of course, and Family Promise has been doing a decent job to get people housing. I think the problem that might be linked to mental health, that's linked to the jail and law enforcement, is the fact that, you know, sometimes, you know, guys are arrested and they're let go, but they're homeless.
Right.
And then they get picked up again because they're on the street. And
there isn't a place for them to go here. So
I had a homeless student this week, and I do to say, hey, she's in my office, right? Let's call Family Promise. That they're getting, this was like 4 days, 5 days ago, they're getting a new administrator, no new intake till today, right? But it was a lot of days. And so, and the counselor was off campus, and so then at least somebody answered at Family Promise. Salvation Army, nobody called her back. There's a, this link on their website, nobody called her back. So then my counselor said, tell her to go to law enforcement, that there's beds there, right? And so at least she's a woman, but if it's a male homeless person, then there is no Family Promise place. So she's a woman.
Anything other than going to getting a voucher for the hotel or something?
Right. But then, Salvation Army has to call you back for that to happen.
Marlon, what is happening with Family Promise right now with the staff?
Our new director has asked for another week, so she's now going to start the day after Christmas, the 26th of December.
Who is the new director?
Kelsey Osaka, or Kelsey. She's from she's from Montevideo.
Okay. It's lucky my student isn't sleeping in a car.
So is there a director and a case manager now?
No, there will just be a director. Bridget, who is a former guest, has been running office management there.
Okay.
And just kind of keeping the lights on, and she hopefully will continue, but not as an official case manager. But Kelsey has been having trouble getting out of her previous job, cutting ties with commitments that she has there, and hopes to begin on the 26th.
And sometimes people do get, you know, presented at Woodlands by the police or by themselves to, well, I don't have a place to stay, so I need to come here. And that doesn't work either. We really, you know, people have to have
I heard that that was a choice, but I'm like, I don't know, that seems...
Well, if someone's desperate, suicidal, or in need of detox, well, a place to sober up, basically, and they meet the criteria, that's one thing. But... you know, it's basically people who are residents of this county. We get other counties too, but it's. I think maybe it was in the paper the other night. The other day, our director, Dr. Chose, and the CD director, Nick Klein, were on the front page, and they were explaining, you know, what we do. We're not a detox unit where somebody has to come in and they can get IVs and have medical concerns. It just doesn't work that way. So there's a inner facility need for more kind of cohesiveness between Rice and us. They keep working on it. It's getting better, but there's a big gap in that. And you know, again, and going back to housing and trying to find a place to live for some people is very difficult. And I still have a thing, you know, I have a concern. I hear a lot about some of the inequities that happen in renting. And I was just looking it up on the phone, there was a trailer park in Granite that is forming an association to support each other and themselves. And a lot of times what happens is the renters are being told one thing about what they have to pay for the pipes that break under their trailer, and that's not true. I mean, that doesn't belong to, it's in the ground. It's part of the land that they rent where their house is. And they're told something different, and they're evicted, or they're charged, or whatever the case may be. And they really don't have recourse. And those are the people that kind of fall through the cracks, and they don't have the education, they don't have the information to know that they have a right to it. That's not their job. They've been paying their lot rent. Their lot is what they're is to be managed by the owner. So there's a lot of things that come up, and discrimination in housing for a few trans people. I've heard that.
doing their best to kind of squeeze them out or not let them in. So it goes on all the time, one case at a time. It comes to my attention. But I think a lot with the housing equity and fairness and the letting people in that have maybe a little background check problem that maybe is 20 years old, you're out. So Wilmer has a lot of those kinds of problems, and you know, mental health issues, part of it. So.
Insofar as advocating for people with mental health challenges, we have a lot of resources, and the biggest challenge I again think is making them known. And I know that's not that's not our committee's job, but to advocate for them, just to encourage. How can we find ways to make it known, like the crisis line?
Right.
It should be out there, but it just needs to be constantly put out there because people don't look until they need it.
Right.
And some people get an attitude, they don't want to go to Woodlands and because of somebody from past history or an idea that they're not that crazy, but the thing is it's a great place. I mean, when I will advocate for the mental health services of this city. When I moved here from Arizona, I was immediately impressed with the longevity of the people that stay there the longest. You don't usually find people that have been in a place for 20, 30 years. And they do a very good job at Woodlands. And it is, it's not a for-profit agency. Some people think over there making a lot of money. Not true.
If somebody is homeless, is appropriate choice to call Family Promise first or Salvation Army?
Well, I mean, they have.
I think Family Promise is a good place to call. You can't be wrong. I mean, if you call Salvation Army, they'd probably refer them to us. But they have other resources too. We don't typically put people up overnight. We occasionally do. But UCAP or Salvation Army sometimes does.
And the other thing is that of course it's a weekend or holiday or something. And the other place that they would go once they were contacted, Family Promise, is going to a community agency or the social services or Bridges to Bridges and other places like that. That deal with housing, if they're ready to find new housing or need to get started the process.
We sent them to the new, it was called Heartland, and I can never remember its
new
name.
You can. And that's where maybe Crisis would send them, that's where Family Promise would send them.
She's on a list for the high rise now. She's just living.
It's a long list. The new building that came up over in Lakeland is lovely, but it's full and hard to get into and on a waiting list for there. And people who have been on waiting lists, they got moved over there. So the waiting lists are very slow.
Yeah, our guests are having a real challenge finding a place. It's not easy.
Right. We were at, we had someone at Family Promise last week when we stayed at Benji. That's been there since May. That's a long time to be in that program.
Well, usually it's 90 days.
Right. So just to recap, these are some of the priorities I have. Continuing the GAIR work, trying to do a better job with our website, talk to the League of Women Voters about another naturalization ceremony. And everything else kind of encompassed under there is. Are there other things?
Well, the website, it's not the functionality of the website for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's serving as a clearinghouse. mean, all the issues right. that people are bringing up, these are
right.
all situational things that can happen. They're not necessarily violations of human rights,
right.
but they could lead to one if
right.
they aren't remedied.
Right.
And putting people in the right direction is all I'm suggesting is
right.
that everybody has really, they're all using, oh, I know of this, I know of that. It's nice
right.
to know those individually,
right.
but it'd be nicer to be able to distribute that out broadly.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's all I'm suggesting
right.
is the website doesn't do that. We
right.
have our own functionality of what's posted there and how you can get it. The functionality of it is not as critical to me. I'm thinking it's the content. We need
mm-hmm.
more of those
right.
linkages. And then, I mean, we'll have less to talk about here if we have all of the clearinghouse there because everybody can go and
right.
navigate it.
Right.
Right.
But that's what I was suggesting with it.
Okay.
So.
Is there, and I'm willing to work on that, is there, with David, is there somebody, I mean, like the link to Woodland Centers, those types of things could be on our page. Is there somebody else who
There's
would like
crisis
to work
line,
with me?
The mobile
right.
crisis will come
right.
out. And that's
right.
been, I think, that's been utilized pretty well.
Okay.
Again,
okay.
we need to, you know, get
right.
it out there. And it's not necessarily information that people are going to, who are homeless are going to go online. Oh, I'm going to go online
right.
so I can find. And,
right.
Or even maybe go to the library. They might go to the library, but they might not have the wherewithal to get online and go, well, what do I do?
Right. But somebody they interact with may know that.
And yeah,
you know?
I mean, to put it
so,
out there. I,
right.
That one thing
okay.
I was thinking, and we've talked about it before, is to have a venue or an open house or something to say, okay, this is the Human Rights Commission and this is what we do, and here's how we can help educate and advocate for you, and this is where, here's some information. But we'd have to have a few different, you know, people
right.
in multi-languages and participate,
right.
maybe like at the coffee desk or something like that.
Okay.
I guess how I envisioned
okay.
it, maybe we're running too short,
yeah,
but I don't know how easy this would be to do on the website. It would be nice to, if there was like a button that said, my rights have been violated, and then it popped up the topics, so you know, education, employment, housing, you click one, and then it gave you the resources for it. It's got to be really easy to use.
Okay.
Be a lot of programming to do on that. But.
Is there one other person who would like to work on that with me?
I can.
Okay. And if you have other links or other things that you feel like need to go in there, please send them to me. Email them to me.
Okay.
And then we can kind of see what categorically where they would fit. Any other items?
Yeah, can I just add real
sure.
quick, when Eric Holine was here earlier this year, and we were talking about all of the ICE stuff that was going on at that time, I don't think, I mean, it would be nice to, of course, brush up on that, but I think it would be even better if we could figure out a way to partner with him to do like a, just like a basic like know your rights thing, and
okay.
and I know he talked a lot about how like he loves connecting with people
right.
one on one and things like that. So I think it would be a really cool, powerful event
help
to do.
Sponsor
so.
Something with him.
Yeah, just like
circle back,
connect with him.
Okay.
And, you know,
okay.
Just so people can
right.
learn the basics if they don't know it. So.
It'd be interesting to see how his first year went too. What he if,
yeah.
what he had to say now. So. The next scheduled meeting would be January 21st. Now, are we running into problems with the Martin Luther holiday again? Don't we run into that in January and February?
The 20th. That's a Monday.
Right, the 21st is the third Tuesday, but it's after the holiday, and it seems like there's always issues with council.
Tuesday.
Council,
okay.
but Monday was the month scheduled, it will get bumped to Thursday.
Okay. So do we want to go on the 14th or the 28th?
Either works for me.
Yeah,
well,
either.
I was just going to say, if we have to meet the deadline for that, on the probably earlier in
the
month,
chamber thing?
Yes.
Is the 31st.
yep, so yes. we might be better off doing the 14th.
Well, the chamber thing is only, though, that's when submissions are closed. So we
won't
necessarily need to work on anything until February.
Right. We're not going to get the submissions until after the 31st.
Okay. Okay.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not the deadline. Okay. Never mind.
I mean, I don't mind either way, but...
Yeah. Either way is fine with me.
Yeah. Whatever. It's fine. 20 is good.
Okay. January 28th.
Okay.
It's 5:59. Is there a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I so move.
Is there a second? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Next year.